Hello, I'm Dr. Bobby Adams, pastor here at Berea Baptist Church, and this is the Berea Baptist Bible Institute under the authority of Berea Baptist Church. And we're pleased to bring you yet another study, another class. This one is dealing with the English Bible, that is, our King James Bible, a brief history of the English Bible. Of course, this is Bible history, which as far as a number is concerned, it would be B-I-H-I-201, B-I-H-I-201, Biblical History 201. And we're going to begin. I'm going to tell you this, and throughout this study, I guess it'll be about 5, 6, maybe 7 different classes. But I'm going to give you a history of the English Bible. No, we're not just talking about the King James Bible beginning at 1604, culminating in 1611. We're going to go back earlier than that. No, it's not just going to be from Tyndale Bible 1525 up to the King James Bible. No, it's not just going to be dealing with the history of the English Bible starting back in 1384 with the John Wycliffe Bible. It's two F's on the end. So we're not going to begin there. We're going to go back much earlier than that. In fact, probably going to go all the way back to the originals themselves. And we're going to be giving a lot of verses, probably in the neighborhood of about 250 verses. But we'll see if, in fact, there will be that many verses that we will use in this study. So welcome to the study. I want you to get much out of it. Take notes as much as you possibly can. We will put a couple things online for you here so that you can download them and listen to the, just listen to the class study. Here is an outline, 8 points. We're only going to cover 7 points. We're going to give an introduction here in a moment. We've just somewhat started, but not exactly. We're going to continue. We're going to deal with point number one, called Scripture. Two, collected Scripture. Three, copied Scripture. Four, circulated Scripture. Five, corrupted Scripture. Six, correct Scripture. Seven, consummation of Scripture. And then 8, critical text Scripture. The critical text Scripture, this is in Greek. We're dealing with English, so we'll not be dealing with it. We'll make comments, but that will be about it. It is a study, a class, a course in and of itself. So this will be online for you. Also, in taking this 7 points, what I've done is just simply scattered them out on these sheets so that you can download them and also you can print them out. As you print them out, then there are spaces in between. You can fill out the information, turn over on the back where there's a blank sheet of paper, and you can continue with your notes. Again, this is Dr. Bobby Adams. The history. This is a brief history. It's not a detailed one, but a brief history of the English Bible. B-I-H-I-201. We welcome you to this course. All right, let's begin with our introduction. In this course, my purpose is to show that the King James Bible is the only, not one of many, the only English Bible on the market. Now, just because it's written in English, and we've over since about 1881, 85, we have a little over 200 translation in the English language. And there may be some forthcoming. But what I'm concerned with is the English Bible. And as we progress, we'll explain what we mean by the English Bible. Get what you can out of it. I want to trace this back. This is not about Greek or Hebrew manuscripts. This is about English, the English Bible that culminates in the King James Bible. And we're going to tell why it's the only English Bible on the market as we progress through. But I believe it can be traced back to the time of around the originals. Therefore, inspiration and preservation by God can be seen in its pages as the Bible for English-speaking people. Yea, it is for the last days. So let's begin dealing with the history, a brief history of the English Bible. Point number one, or Roman numeral one, called Scripture. Now, as Christians, we need a biblical basis for our worldview. Our worldview is that God has spoken. Therefore, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice for time and eternity. In fact, in the book of Esther, in part, we read Esther chapter 9, verse 29, he wrote with all authority. Wrote with all authority. And that's what we believe about this one. Let's begin. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verses 15 and 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. All right, here we are. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And the scripture says in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So we need Bible. We need Bible for everything that we do. Here in this text, I hope that you will notice that the Apostle Peter speaks of the Apostle Paul, and he says that wisdom was given to him to write to you. I believe that about each of the biblical writers, don't you? And he said, as in all his epistle, he speaks to you of some things hard to be understood. Now, there are seven mysteries that he is given, he speaks of. Perhaps he's alluding to them. If you believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, then it could be speaking of the book of Hebrews. In any case, he is speaking of his epistles, and he says specifically in all of his epistles. Hard to be understood, some of them. And if you're unlearned, if you're unlearned, if you're unstable, you're going to wrestle with them, as you do also the other scriptures. So they are called scripture, is the point we wish to make. He says, as they do also the other scripture. So Paul is given wisdom to write in all his epistles, and these epistles are scripture. And that's what we want you to know. First of all, even during the first century, the Bible is called the Scriptures. And it's written with all authority. Now, a biblical view is the basis for studying the Bible and referring to it and believing it as the Word of God. Without it, without the Bible, could we know God? Could we know the Lord Jesus Christ, full payment of our sins, that He died, was buried, and raised again for our sins? No, because this is the document that we have that gives us this information. We wouldn't know anything about Him. Let's look at some other scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. First Epistle General of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 23, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Bible is referred to as Scripture. It's called Scripture. And as we have just read here, the prophets, they searched, they prophesied. The Spirit of Christ was in them as they wrote the things that are in the Bible of the sufferings of Christ, His first coming, and the glory that should follow as His return. And those who have preached the gospel have declared those things to you with the Holy Ghost who is sent down from heaven, and the angels desire to look into. So we're born again, and this is the incorruptible seed. This is also called not only Scripture, but the Word of God. All right, let's go to chapter 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. All right, now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, called Scripture, called the Word of God. In order to have them, there's wisdom that is given in order to write these things. So we read now in concerning these, 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse number 19. I hope you're with me. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse number 19, we've also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we want you to understand, and we'll get to inspiration here in a few minutes, that inspiration includes speaking. Because it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved, born, carried along by the Holy Ghost. So they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Same type of a thought, Genesis 1 and 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's back in Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 3. All right, here what we are learning, 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. Now, first of all, there's an eyewitness account in verses 16, 17, and 18 of 2 Peter 1 of the Mount of Transfiguration recorded in Matthew 17 and Luke chapter 9. Well, it's recorded at least in those two places, and they were eyewitnesses. That's what he says in verse 16, of his majesty. And the Father spoke from the excellent glory, said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. We heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And someone says, you know, oh, I just wish I could have been there when Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah were there as they talked about the Lord's death for our sins. Man, if I could just be there, I know I can get more out of Scripture. Well, not so fast. Did you notice verse 19? Because the Apostle Peter said, even more sure than an eyewitness account is the sure word of prophecy, which is the Scripture. The word of prophecy. You do well to take heed to this. This is the light that shines out of a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. And that's a term for the Lord Jesus. So the word of prophecy is Scripture. Prophecy of the Scripture is Scripture. And none of it is for private, personal interpretation. So the Bible is without human origin. It's not by the will of man, but they were moved, these holy men of God, by the Holy Ghost. So you have a Bible by men that's been moved by the Holy Ghost to speak. It's awesome. So no human origin. Inspiration is prophecy. Did you also catch that? Now, what is a prophet? Well, a prophet is an inspired man speaking inspired words. Say that again. A prophet is an inspired man speaking inspired words. See, the Spirit of God moved upon men's vocal cords. And when they spoke, God gave them utterance. I'm borrowing some terminology from Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What is inspiration? The Spirit gives utterance. Prophecy, then, is inspired speaking. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter tells us in chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. So he mentions these men in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust. Now let's drop down to verses 15 and 16. 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. Now we've already read these, so let me just quickly read them again. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. All right, so this is for the whole body of Scripture, not just for a little while, because it mentions very plainly here in verse number 2, holy prophets, it's Old Testament, and the commandment of us, the apostles, that's the New Testament, of our Lord and Savior. All right, now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, let's begin at verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. We'll go through verses 8 through 10. And I want you to see that the Apostle Peter says of Paul, as we already know, of the wisdom that's given him. That is, a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Remember, we read that in 2 Peter 3, 15, where Paul speaking by the wisdom given unto him. So I thought, word of wisdom, let's talk about that. All right? So in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, we find the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? Well, it's a supernatural working. It's a gift of God. All right, let's read this. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. What is the Scripture? It's the word of God. It's called Scripture. It is the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, differently, as he will. All right, so we note the word of wisdom here. Let's go to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. And the Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse number 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Why? That you may be blameless when in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he mentions, come behind and no gift. And with the gift, whatever it may be, you're waiting for the Lord who's going to confirm you until Christ returns. All right, that was in chapter 1. Let's begin now. I needed to note that. Let's go to chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. which none of the princes of this world knew. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning. I'm starting in the wrong place. We need to start in verse 7. All right, I'll get it right. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Remember, we've already read from 2 Peter chapter 1 that the Scriptures are not by the will of man. Here, the Scriptures are not by the wisdom of man, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, that's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 13. All right, knowledge and prophecy go together. It is revelation doctrine. How are we to know God? Well, the only way we can know God is by words. And he gives us a revelation of himself by his Spirit through words. And your Bible has words. Words that are not the will of man. Words that are not the wisdom of man. They are spirit taught words. So the wisdom of God involves inspiration. And for that, we must go to 2 Timothy. And I know we're all familiar with this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Second Timothy, chapter 3, 15 through 17. And Paul speaks to Pastor Timothy, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What is this? Holy scriptures. See, the Bible, even in the first century, was called scripture. The Word of God, it's the wisdom of God, it's given by inspiration, and it's God's wisdom, and God's revealing himself by words. And we have words in our Bible, and thank God we do. And those words are able to make us wise into salvation, and it's through faith that's in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given, not was, used to be, originally, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's why. That the man of God may be perfect, matured, fully matured, truly furnished unto all good works. So, the wisdom of God involves inspiration. We've just read about inspiration. Even before the New Testament was penned, the Old Testament is referred to as Scripture. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. And let's look at verse number 18. For the Scripture saith, 1 Timothy 5:18, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. So what does that mean? Well, it means that whomever wrote the book of Deuteronomy, the Apostle Paul, the Scripture tells us, it's Scripture. Thou shalt, Deuteronomy 25, 4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. That's Deuteronomy 25, verse number 4. All right, let's go to the book of Luke. The New Testament writers are quoting the Old Testament and calling them Scripture. Let's go to the book of Luke. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ gets up, walks up to the minister, and the minister hands him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the book of Luke, chapter 4. And we'll begin our reading at verse 17. And then we're going to go to the book of Isaiah 61. Now I'm going slow. I normally go pretty quick, but people complain and say they have a hard time keeping up with me, so we'll go slow. All right, the book of Luke. St. Luke, the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning in verse number 17. This is a synagogue at Nazareth. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, I said in the roll, what I was thinking, I suppose, was Jeremiah 36, and we'll read that later. But anyway, this calls Scripture a book. Isn't that interesting? A book. During New Testament times. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Scholars tell us that there was no chapter and verse markings. Well, thank God that we've got chapter and verse markings, or we'd really have a time trying to show people where we're reading from as ministers. You just have to take our word for it. 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's something. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were facing on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture, verse 21, fulfilled in your ears. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. He's calling it Scripture. Remember we read that earlier, prophecy of the Scripture. Of holy men of old and the prophets. They prophesied what? Scripture, by the wisdom given to them as they were filled with the Spirit. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, in the book of Isaiah, we want to look in chapter 61. And let's read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Now Jesus found the place where it was written. And here it is in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Now I want you to notice something also, or something else. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now watch this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. So why is that important? Well, in Luke 4:19, he stopped right here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Meaning in me, this is the year of Jubilee, you go free. It's pretty cool. But this verse goes on to say, the Lord stopped right in the middle of the verse. Here's the rest of this verse, Isaiah 61:2. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Vengeance? I see comfort, but vengeance wasn't in his heart. Remember, even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, point. The Lord Jesus is calling this Scripture. Luke said Scripture. All right? So Paul said Scripture. Luke said it's Scripture. So guess what it is? The Old Testament. It's Scripture. It's called Scripture. That's what we're trying to point out. So if your minister says, take your Scriptures or turn in the Scriptures, let's read such and such Scripture, it's called Scripture. The writings are Scripture, and were recognized as such from the very beginning, even then. To establish this point further, I'm going to the book of Mark, chapter 15. And I want to look one verse, verse 28. Mark 15, 28. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Well, where is that? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Here it is. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It's called Scripture. That's amazing. When I was studying in college, I was never told that. Not one time. In fact, what they started doing, or instead what they did, they started talking about the Council of Jamnia. No evidence, no proof anywhere, just a statement. And the world of academia, the religious world, just took it as gospel, as it were. No proof. Said it wasn't called Scripture until. Well, that's wrong. I'm giving you the Bible, and it's calling the Old Testament Scripture. Let's go to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, it uses this phrase, the Scripture of truth. Daniel 10, 21. Daniel says, under inspiration, we have by preservation, but I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there's none that holdeth with me in these matters, but Michael, your prince. That's Daniel 10, 21, the Scripture of truth. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 2 of Daniel. Daniel 9, verse 2. In the year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So what is this? The word of the Lord. It's called in Jeremiah, a word of the Lord. Why wasn't I taught that in school? Why? I was a minister. I was a professor, a Bible professor, head of the Bible department at Clark College in Newton, Mississippi, which is no longer in existence. I don't know. All right, let's go to John, the New Testament, John's Gospel. Gospel according to St. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 22. And in John chapter 2, verse number 22, when therefore he, Jesus, was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Believed the scripture. Now that's pretty cool. All the words of Jesus make up the scripture. Maybe he's referring here to Psalm 16:10. Let me read it. Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Possibly. So again, when Jesus said in verse 19, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Could it be referring to 46 years as temple was in building? Well, there he's referring back. I'm not interested in Josephus. What about the books of Ezra and Nehemiah when the temple was built? You remember Daniel said in Daniel 9, verses 26 and 7, that the temple would be built in troublous times. And from the building of the temple. Anyway, from the time of trouble, he mentions in Daniel 9, 27. Well, I'm sorry, in Daniel 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks or 69 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So anyway, when you begin to study all of this out, it was about 50 years or so. And but according to the New Testament that we read in John chapter 2, verse number 22, 40 and 6 years. So anyway, you can look there. All right, now, so it just gives you a date, and it's calling Scripture. I'm going back to the book of John, chapter 5, book of John, this time chapter 5, John 5, verses 38 and 39. John 5, verses 38 and 9. And ye have not his word abiding in you we'll just look at verse 39. Search the Scriptures. What did they have back then? The Old Testament. Three divisions, the Law, the Prophets, the Psalms. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So you'll find Christ in those Scriptures. I believe in all three divisions. Also, verse 47. If you believe not his writings, Moses, how shall you believe my words? So, anyway, it's all there if you want to look at it, all right? And if you want to believe it. I want to go back. I'll probably come back to it. Yeah. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. See, the Old Testament's called Scripture. The New Testament is called Scripture. That's all we're trying to establish, guys. At their penning, they're called Scripture. At their writing, not centuries later, Luke 24. Beginning in verse 25, the Lord is risen from the dead, and he's speaking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all of them, the things concerning himself. Wow. So I think it's all there. Look at verse number 32. They said later after he left, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Yeah, he did. Skip down. Same chapter, Luke chapter 24. Let's begin at verse 44. And he said unto them, he's now there with the other disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So that means the law of Moses, okay? That's the first five books of the Bible. In the prophets, well, that would include from Isaiah to the end of the Old Testament, and the Psalms, called the writings. So you have from Job all the way to probably write the Lamentations or so. All of it, it's called Scripture. All of it is called Scriptures. So I think we need to recognize that fact. It's just all over the place. Going back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John 10, verse 35. If he called them gods, and he said, is it not written in your law, I said to your gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, the scripture is the word of God. And when you look here at where he's quoting from Psalm 82 and verse number 6. Psalm 82, verse 6. Now, I know I've established my point. I get that. But I want this settled. And all who listen to this and you send these CDs or DVDs to, or tell them the website, and they go to our church website and look at this, you can see it's clearly established in the Bible. It's called Scripture. It's the Word of God when it's said, when it is penned. Show that to your scholarly friend. See what he says, or she. All right? I believe I said Psalm 82. See if that's right. Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm 82 and 6. I have said, ye're gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Scripture. Pure and simple. Let's go to the book of Romans. This is all over the place, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is. Romans chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even to thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So what is the scripture? It's a word of faith. Skip down to verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Isaiah chapter 29. Thought this was a brief history. Well, it's not a survey. And what I am interested in, when it comes to Scripture, I don't skimp on Scripture. I don't give you the skinny, as we may say today in current vernacular. What's the scoop? I don't know if I'm giving a full scope, but I'm going to give you enough. Isaiah 28, verse number 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And then Isaiah 49:23. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23. This is a prophecy. Israel's enemies being destroyed and them coming back home. And the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens by thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. So these two passages he's quoting here in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 11. Now, verse 13 is another one altogether. All right, now I want to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts 17:11. Well, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, these Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What did they search? The Old Testament. And what are they? The Scriptures. They searched them daily. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. See that? Wisdom of God. The Word of God. It's the will of God. The words of God. Not man's words, not man's wisdom, not man's words, but God's. Words which the Holy Ghost, the wisdom that the Holy Ghost teacheth. All right, Acts 17 and verse number 11 mentioned Scripture. Let's go back to chapter 8 and verse number 32. Acts, this is the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8 and Philip. And he's got a copy of the Scriptures. Can they be the originals? Call all those the Scriptures originals? Don't be silly. By the time the Apostle Paul, you couldn't find an original copy that Isaiah penned 7 centuries before Christ. If you wanted to, you couldn't. They weren't around. The originals were not around. They were copies. All right? Copies. We'll get on that all that later on. Because we're going to have to deal with inspiration. We're going to have to deal with preservation. You got to have both of them. Otherwise, if you picture them like a table, two legs to a table or counter or pulpit, whatever, and you only have one, and it's located over here, and what's it going to fall without the other? It will fall without the other one. All right, here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 32. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And of course, he is giving reference to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Again, this time it's verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who should declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Scripture. Time and time again, Scripture is always what is on hand. Again, Paul quotes in 1 Timothy 5:18. Now, I read that a while ago, but let me go back there. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 18. 1 Timothy 5:18. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And then he says, the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, a while ago, I took you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, and verse number 4. Now, what I want you to notice is the book of Luke. Luke, chapter 10, verse number 7. Let's go back to Luke. Chapter 10, verse 7. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 7. And in the same house remained, the Lord said, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Matthew chapter 10. It's when the Lord sent his disciples two by two out to preach and heal. Matthew 10. All right. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 10. No scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So he's referring to the words of the Lord Jesus as Scripture. The words of Moses as Scripture. 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul quotes and calls it Scripture. Now, that has been established. I've gone to great pains. There's probably a few more examples that I can give you. But for the sake of time, we will stop there. And as far as calling Scripture, I think that's been clearly established. We must, however, deal with these two words. And I've mentioned inspiration, preservation. Let me start on inspiration. Say something about this. I'm going to tell you what, by the time we finish with this study, you have learned a lot of things from your Bible and about your Bible, about your English Bible. Not the originals, because we're not concerned with the originals, mainly because we don't have them. Why should I live my life, preach and teach, and always call the Scriptures in the original? What good is that going to do you? Don't I have a copy of them? So we got to deal with it, even in this brief history of the English Bible. You say, why? That will be answered later on. What does inspiration mean? Remember we read from 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so typically, traditionally, the definition is you're only given one thing. It means God breathed. Well, it does. But it also means two other things. So I want to show you all three things that it means. You might be able to help the scholar out. What do you think? What do you think? All right, let's look at it. Number one, it means God breathed. Secondly, it means spirit words. I'm going to show it to you now. I'm going to show it to you. You'll believe it in a minute when I show it to you. And thirdly, inspiration means alive. God breathed, spirit words, and alive. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostril and he became a living soul. God breathed. Result, living soul. That's Genesis 2, verse 7. God breathed. I want you to see that. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel. We've got about 13 minutes left. Ezekiel, chapter 37. And let's begin at verse 4. Ezekiel 37, beginning of verse 4. Ezekiel sees a vision of in a valley of dry bones, dead bones, dry bones. And beginning at verse number 4, we read, "And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." See, it is breath, but it is also living that's connected with it, and I want you to see that. "And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded." And as I prophesied, remember we dealt with prophecy, the spirit of prophecy and all of that. Prophecy of the Scripture. "There was a noise," you know, holy men of old spake, and they're moved by the Holy Ghost. No prophecy of the Scriptures, any private interpretation. Holy men of old spake as they, it's God moved upon the vocal cords. Come on now. It's not a preacher living that's been preaching any length of time that did not, at one time or another in his preaching ministry, get up to preach without this happening to him. He said things that's not in his notes. He didn't study. He wasn't prepared to say, but it came out of his mouth anyway. The Spirit spoke right through him. He just didn't want it in here. Oh, I wish I could get people to see that. We continue. And I prophesied. "There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." All right, let's go to John chapter 20. Notice breath, living, wind, prophesying. Let's go to John chapter 20. The Lord's risen from the dead. He's given the great commission here. One of five times he did so. John 20, verse 22, he says to his disciples, in John 20, verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let's go to John 6:63. We have just minutes left. John chapter 6 for our class, this study. In John 6, verse 63. The Lord Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, which means make alive, the book of Numbers, and from Hebrews 4:12. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God breathed. They are spirit and they are life. Let's look at verse 68. The Lord asked him, will you also go away? On 7 he did. Then Simon Peter answered him in verse 68 of John 6. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Spirit words. Breathe words, gives life. Oh, isn't that the same thing? Going back to Acts, and this time in chapter 11, Cornelius, chapters 10 and 11, the event in experience in chapter 11, and then they're going to recap, expound, explain what took place in chapter 11. Look at verse 14. Acts 11, verse 14. 13 and 14. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who should tell thee words, W-O-R-D-S, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Romans 10, verse number 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. The book of Job. The book of Job. And we'll look in chapter 33. Job chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. God's breath gives life. The Spirit, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And in those bones that had sinews and flesh up upon them, breathed life in them. The breath came in them, and they lived. See that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, has the breath of God on it. It's spirit, words, and it's life. See why they all three go together? They all three go together. All right. Psalm 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, I want you to see 2 Timothy 3:16 and Job 32, verse 8. Why? Well, simply stated, it's the only other time that the word inspiration is used in the King James Bible. Job chapter 32, verse 8. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them man, the Spirit in man, understanding. That's interesting. Inspiration gives you understanding. If you don't have inspiration, how you don't understand the Scriptures? Inspiration in Greek is a compound word. Theos is God. Noistos is from pneuma, and it means spirit. Thus, it means God's Spirit. So inspiration is not only God-breathed, but Spirit-taught or Spirit-given words, which are life. It is the Scriptures that give man understanding. Our final passage in this class study is found in the book of Hebrews, I alluded to earlier, chapter 4, Hebrews 4, and I trust it's familiar to you, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Here's why: piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's pretty sharp. You can divide the soul and the spirit apart. Man has trouble defining those two terms. Then the joints and marrow. The thoughts of and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, revealed, seen, displayed in His sight. Who's the His? Why, it's the Word of God. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Who's the Him with whom we have to do? It's the Word of God. The antecedent is verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Question, do you have the Word of God? Do you have the Scriptures? I do. I've got them right here. All right. We're not finished. We're still on called Scripture of seven thoughts. We've just considered briefly inspiration. And this is on your list, inspiration, called Scripture. We're going to be looking next time at translation. And the two words, is given. And we're going to see what the Scripture has to say about it. And I think it will be an eye-opener for you when you continue with us. Thanks for staying with us, for being a part of this. This is Dr. Bobby Adams. This is the Berea Baptist Bible Institute under the authority of Berea Baptist Church. The English Bible, Brief History, Biblical History, BIHI 201. And that's all